full of what the Lord has done. We had a young man saved after the morning service here. I'm glad God is moving. Tonight, if you're lost, you've picked a good night to come to church. The Lord Jesus loves you, and He proved it. He died for you. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 16 now, and verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. Certain rich man. And he was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell. And in hell, he lift his eyes, being in torments. They wouldn't play in poker. They wouldn't play in checkers. And they wouldn't drink in their martinis. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy, not on them, but on me. Send Lazarus, may he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for the good day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, how the songs have touched our heart in a unique and a special way tonight. Thank you for thy word that this child has quoted. Thank you for a mom and daddy that will instill that into their children. Lord, now we come to this part of the service, the most important. Lord, a very sacred place I stand tonight. Lord, between you and between men. Lord, I pray that you would give us Holy Ghost unction tonight. Lord, you'd make preaching be easy. Lord, would you magnify this doctrine? Would you make it real in a sinner's heart tonight? Would you draw them by your mercy and grace? Lord, would you give them one more chance to be gloriously saved? We love you and praise you tonight. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. I need you, Lord. Amen. And amen. If you'll notice tonight for a text verse, the Bible said in verse 23, in hell he lift up his eyes and then he said in verse 28, for I have five brethren, that you may testify to them, lest they also come in this place of torment. I will preach on this simple topic tonight, on one in hell and five on the way. One in hell and five on the way. I wish we could get the burden that this man had tonight that died and went to hell about his family. Somebody said, well, you know, hell is not what you folks say it is. It's hell on earth. No, it's not hell on earth. Because there are no Christians in hell, and I'm a Christian and I'm on earth. And number two, there's no water in hell. I got a glass of water on the pulpit. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now you'll notice this evening, verses 19 through 22, that we find that there is a death examined. A death examined. The Bible said there was a certain rich man, his clothed in purple fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. He was doing real good. There's a beggar named Lazarus. He is laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from his table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Tonight we see death examined. We all here are going by the way of the grave or by the way of the shaft. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If you die without Christ tonight, hell will be your home. I'm glad we that are saved, we have receive the Lord Jesus into our life. We've repented of our sins. The Bible says that there was one that had died. He was a poor beggar man, but he became a millionaire. You can have all the money in this world and die without Christ, and your money will do you no good when you get there. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that covers everybody, cometh unto the Father except by Him. Jesus is the way. Tonight, we all are headed to the graveyard. Life is uncertain. Life is short. Young people, you may think you're going to live to be my age. You may not. Older people, you may think that you're going to live to grandpa's age. You may not. But we can say for one thing for sure, we're going to lay this old body down. Whether by way of the death or by way of rapture, we're going to lay this body down. Death is coming. Get ready. I can remember, unfortunately, I've seen from coffins of babies that would go on a communion table to people that was laying in a box, and no doubt they thought death would never come and knock at their door that morning. But death came. And you can't stop death when death comes. But you can be ready when death comes. I'm glad I'm ready tonight. Thank God I'm ready. As Brother Matthew sang, I'm glad that I know tonight. I've got peace in my heart that passes all understanding. I didn't get it in the baptismal pool. I didn't get it joining a church, but I did get it by the grace of God, where the Son of God hung on Calvary's cross. I'm glad love reached my way, and by faith I reached His way, and He got me to God, and He washed away my sins. Thank God my name is written down yonder in glory land tonight. I'm glad He said that you may know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you have eternal life tonight. Oh, I'm glad that I know. We see tonight that death is examined. Number two, there is a destruction experienced. Verse 23, in hell He lift up His eyes. destruction experience. Hell is real. There are no heroes in hell, young people. Oh, hell is a bad place. Destruction experienced. Verse 23 details extreme. God wrote a little something that we may know in the life hereafter if we're not saved. There's never been one when here to come back and tell us about it. You know, all we know about heaven is what this book tells us. And what we know about hell is what this book tells us. I've heard a lot of liberal theologians say, well, this is a parable. It's not a parable because here he mentioned a name. No place in your Bible do you see a parable where a name is mentioned. This is reality. Hell's become a slang word. We forgot about hell. Let me tell you, mom and dads, if your babies don't get saved, they go to hell. If your family don't get saved, they die and go to hell. This is not a myth. I'm not preaching mythology tonight. I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We see here that there are details extreme. Now you'll see in verse 23, being in torments, plural. He's seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But you know, it's too late to cry for mercy. Ain't you glad we got a God tonight we can cry out mercy to? Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, the one that was sitting at my table begging for crumbs. Would you send the lowest one I know to bring me some water? Said, could he just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? For look, for I'm tormented in this flame. Can you imagine the charred walls of hell? For years and years now, the Bible said that hell hath enlarged herself. The Bible said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. God never, ever, ever predestined anybody to die and go to hell. For He gave His beloved Son to pay a price, to pay the sin debt for mankind. And if you die and go to the char walls of hell, you'll go there as an intruder tonight. Can you imagine the walls of hell as the flames and the smoke have ascended for years and years and years? He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Now we see details that are extreme. By the way, I've heard people say, you ought not preach on hell. It scares my children. Well, let me just give you something right here to write in the back of your Bible. You better pray to the God of heaven. The Holy Ghost puts the fear of God in their heart. Jesus had no problem writing about it. I ain't got no problem telling you about it. And He said this, I'm tormented in this flame. We see these details extreme. But now look in verse 25. You'll see despair excessive. Despair excessive. Abraham said, son, this is a terrible thing. Remember? Isn't it? Won't it be awful for people that die and go to hell in their sins to remember what they had here in this world? Remember, he said. Wouldn't it be amazing? A lot of us don't have a lot, but yet we've got everything. But wouldn't it be amazing? I don't care if you're just living under a bridge, but you opened your eyes in a place called hell, and you could remember. You know, it will amaze people when they die and go to hell that they will remember coming in the doors of churches all across this land, where preachers is crying and screaming, Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Remember? It's bad to die and go to hell with memory. Remember that thou in your lifetime, and I'm going to tell you something, we don't know how long that is. A lifetime for some is 12 years, to some it's 50, to some it's 40, to some it's 70. We don't know where that line's at, but it is a lifetime. And you better be careful with what you do with it. He said, remember that in your lifetime you receive us thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Hell ain't cool. Death examined, destruction experienced, details extreme, but despair excessive. Why is it excessive, preacher? Verse 23, there's unbearable pain. He lifted his eyes in hell, being in torment. You know, I don't make light of nothing. I don't say this to get a laugh. Because there's a couple of people here I know that shake their head and say, you're right, preacher. But I would imagine one of the most excessive pains that you've ever had is nothing compared to lifting your eyes in hell, being in torment. I can remember one time, my first factory job, I got my hand caught in a roller. Blood began to swell under my nails. They took a Bunsen burner and lit it at the doctor. He took a paper clip, got a pair of needle-nose pliers, and he straightened out that paper clip. And he held that paper clip on that Bunsen burner till it glowed red. They laid my hand down on a chair. Two nurses got on this arm, and he burned holes through them fingernails. And I'll be honest with you, at 51 years old, that wouldn't happen tonight. But in a little while, the pain eased up. But this man, I don't know his name. We only know him as Rich Man. Matter of fact, I'm glad I'll never know him. My God, I'm glad I'll never be introduced to him. I'll never know him because what Jesus has done for me on the cross, I'll never know who he was. We find that he had unbearable pain. He had unsatisfied thirst. Thirst is a bad thing. I can remember as a little old boy out in the country. I'm talking about being so thirsty in places. Get down and just drink out of them. Some of you laugh, but I've done it. To drink out of a mud hole where wagons made a track. You die and go to hell. You'd give everything you've ever had for one drink of water. Unbearable pain, unsatisfied thirst, and those unforgettable memories. I'm talking about despair that's excessive. What about the people that died today? We had lunch, had my family together. Had fellowship, had lunch. What about the people that died and went to hell before lunch? What they can remember today? Bad place. I can tell you one thing. It must be a lot better than any man could ever preach about it because God gave His Son to get us out of there. Despair, excessive. Verse 26... There's a disconnect exhibited. And he said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from thence. A disconnect exhibited. What are you talking about? There's separation. You die and go to hell, your husband's saved, he won't be there. You die and go to hell. Your wife is saved and you're not. She won't be there. You'll be by yourself. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to have a lot of people to have a party with. Oh, it ain't no party going on there. There's a lot of bad people in this place. I'm talking about some wicked people. I'd say more than not Hitler's there. I won't be a judge. One that stacked bodies by the thousands on train cars, throwed snow on them, shipped them out. No doubt, probably Saddam Hussein, that kind of people is there. It's not only bad people, it's good people. And that's some of your biggest downfalls. You think you're a good person. You can recite every book in the Bible and die and go to hell in your sin. The only way you're going to heaven is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. There's none good, no, not one's what the Bible said. It's hard to reach good people. They're good people. There's good people in hell, but they're in hell. Why are they in hell, preacher? Because they didn't do it the Bible way. You say, well, you sure are dogmatic. You better believe it. A disconnect exhibited. He said, there's a fence there. There's a gulf between us and you. He said, you can't get out. And those that can look into you at that time, they can't get to you. Hell's a bad place. Despair excessive. Verse 26, this disconnect exhibited, it's a gulf fix. But verse 27, there's a disturbance expressed. So look what he says. Then he said, well, I pray thee, therefore, Father. Matter of fact, he must have been a Jew because he knew him as Father Abraham. Thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. Matter of fact, if this man had five brothers back at daddy's house, he must not have been too old. Probably young, middle age. Don't think you're going to live till you're an old man. Till you're an old lady. He said, I got five brethren. Disturbance expressed. He's disturbed about them. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He said, go tell somebody. Go back down there and tell them I grew up with about you. Go tell them don't to come in here. And there's a declaration exposed. Look what Abraham said. He said, verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What's he saying? He's saying, that's why I've got preachers all across this country, and you better listen to them. And then he said this in verse 31, and he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. One in hell and five on the way. Are you on the way? I wonder how many people we grew up with is in hell tonight. You say, preacher, I ain't got nothing to thank God for. Well, if you saved, you got a lot to throw your old little Baptist hand up toward them ceiling tile tonight. Say, God, I don't even understand why you would, but I sure am glad you did. Boy, I was on my way to hell. I was on a fast pace headed there. Boy, by God's love and mercy, He intervened and reached into where I was. By His amazing grace. Tonight I want to ask you something. There was a young man this morning. He went in this room. Talked with Brother Jason. He'd been here Wednesday night, teen church. He'd got under conviction. He wanted to meet. He gave his heart to the Lord in there this morning. Thursday morning I was at my study. You heard it this morning. Brother Brett called. He said, preacher, I've been up mainly all night. I've been troubled. He said, now I know that I'll never have to die and go to hell in my sins. I stand here tonight perfect in Christ. I stand here as a saint in Christ. But I stand here robed in flesh as a fleshly man. But yet, one day I believed in Christ and the Spirit of God put me in the family of God. He placed me in Christ. Now when God sees me, He sees His Son, and I'm hid in Christ. I'll never have to die and go to hell in my sins. The Bible said one of the most powerful verses that we have. You say, well, preacher, how do I know that God would do this for me? Because He put a word in our Bible to let us know. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I love this word. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him. Have you ever believed on Him? May have everlasting life. And I'll raise Him up at the last day. You know, God thought so much of sinners that He closed His Bible with the same thought. In Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, the Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And here's this verse again. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty? He can give you a drink. Miss Sherry, if you would be good enough to come tonight. Brother David, it's been on my heart. Could we sing that song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Could you lead that for me, Brother David? Now, I want to ask you something this evening. Tell me, what's more important than you getting saved tonight? What would be more important? Your worst day here. Is compared to nothing. There. Did you know that Jesus died for you? And He had the Holy Spirit to write a Bible, and He called preachers all across this country to tell you about it. And He said if you'd believe it and accept it, you could be saved. What's so hard about that? The Holy Spirit must convince you that you're lost, you're a sinner. Are you convinced of that tonight? Brother Ken, I've never been saved. I remember. Of course, I was raised in a different church, a different atmosphere than this. I wish I could have been in this kind of atmosphere coming up. Brother Don, I wish God would have saved me at about 12 and filled me with the Holy Ghost at about 14, called me to preach about 15. I wish I could say that. Sinner, you got a chance tonight. Ma'am, you could come to Jesus and have all your sins washed away. Sir, you could come tonight, have all your sins gone. Young person, you could come to Jesus tonight. Trust what He done for you on a cross. I remember Brother Randall at Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was a man there one morning. I'd went to see him in his home. Brother Lee, I walked on the porch. He was on a mattress on the floor crying when I got there. He said, "I'll be down there where you preach Sunday." I'll be honest with you, he scared me to death. I was afraid he'd die between Sunday to Sunday. God was merciful. God's been merciful to you. God's been so... Don't you understand, on the way home tonight, that car could cross the yellow line and it's over for you. He's sitting on the back that morning and he lifted his hand, lost. I'm going to do that in a minute. I've never come to nobody, and as far as I know, I would never do that. I'd never push anybody. But I want to give you the chance. He stepped out in the aisle and he came to Jesus and he got right here. I said, "Sir, what do you need?" He said, "Preacher, I'm going to hell." And I said, "Well, ask God to save you." And I walked off. Brother Randall, you'll probably remember. And he grabbed me and he said, "Don't leave me. I don't know how to pray." I kneeled down. I said, "Okay." Talk to him just like a little child. Say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm trusting what you've done for me. Lord, save me. Come in my life. Give me a new life and forgive me, Lord." Boy prayed. God saved him. He'd save you tonight. But you know what? You know what you're going to have to do? People say you don't have to do nothing, but you do have to do something. You know what you've got to do? You've got to receive Christ. You've got to receive Christ. We're fixing to sing this old song, "Why Not Tonight." I remember the church Renee was raised in, they'd sing this song. This song bothered me in revival meetings, because I know that I didn't have that peace. My boy tonight, it sure does give me peace to know that don't bother me tonight. You say, "Preacher, I'm embarrassed." Well, I tell you what I'd do. I'd put my embarrassment on my pew and I'd get up and I'd walk toward an altar and I'd call upon a God that could save me tonight. I mean, save me tonight. Won't you come and trust Him, the best friend you'll ever have? Don't die and go to hell in your sins.